All right. Tonight's question is, who is Abigail, and why are so many Jewish girls named after her? We have to understand first, what is the story? Because the story and why it's in the Navi is not so apparent on the surface. It's contained in Shmuel Aleph Perek Chaf Hei. And before we look at the notes, I just want to give a brief overview of what happens. The Navi tells us that after Shmuel's death, there was a wealthy man named Naval who lived in Maon, very wealthy. David and his men had done a service for them, and David sent a delegation asking Naval to give them provisions, food, water, etc. What's that? Well, Shaul is still alive. Yeah. Naval refuses in a very brusque and rude way. Naval has a wife named Abigail. David decides to kill Naval, murder him. Abigail intervenes and brings a large offering to David and his men, a lot of food and cakes and water, pleads with David not to kill her husband, and David agrees, and he praises Abigail for her righteousness, and he desists from killing Naval. In the meantime, Naval gets drunk, celebrating his good fortunes, the harvest or the shearing season, and he dies in the morning. When he dies, David sends word to Abigail that she should become his wife, and they marry. In a nutshell, that's the story. Question is, why is this in the Navi, really? I mean, what's the meaning of the story? What happens here? On the surface, it doesn't really speak well of David. I mean, the way he conducted himself, on the surface at least. In fact, the story is a very profound one and very important for understanding the development of David. I will see. Hold on a sec. We'll see. You must have seen the movie. That's why you know that.
No.
We'll see. It's hot. He came to Mar of Malchus. There's no Melech yet. On the other hand, you're in a very interesting transitional phrase. A phase, rather. Look at number 5 for a moment, just to whet our appetites. What we're talking about, the Gemara says in Megillah, Daf Yudal Amud Aleph, Sheva Nevios. There were 7 prophetesses. Manin, who were they? So many of them familiar to us: Sara, Miriam, Dvorah, Chana, Abigail, and Huldah and Esther. Abigail's from this story. So this story designates her as a prophetess, one of the 7 women who were prophets. So we have to understand that as well. What exactly did she say here? What did it contribute to our knowledge of Torah, Malchus Yisrael, such that we would deem her a Nevi'ah? Let's look at the story starting in number 1. Vayoma Shmuel, Vayikavtzu Kol Yisrael, Vayispedulo, Vayikvru Beveso Beramah. Shmuel dies, and all of Israel gathers at his home in Ramah, just north of Yerushalayim, and they bury him, they eulogize and bury him. Vayokom David Vayered al Midbar Paron. David then again arises, the word we discussed last week, and heads for Midbar Paron. Why is he heading back to the desert? If, as you recall from last week, he had sort of reconciled with Shaul, some sort of rapprochement with Shaul. Why is he running again? Because now with Shmuel Hanavi gone, he feels vulnerable. Who knows what's going to happen? But Shmuel was alive, so he had Shmuel's imprimatur that he'd be the next melech. Now Shmuel is gone. So all Israel mourns except for one person. V'ish b'ma'on u'ma'aseh b'Karmel. The person lived in Ma'on, commuted to Carmel for his work. V'ish gadol me'od v'lo tzon shloshes alafim elef izim, very wealthy, 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats. It's like having a three-car garage. V'hi b'gzoz es tzono b'karmel, and it came to pass he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. V'shem ho'ish naval v'shem ishto avigoyel. His name was Naval, his wife's name Avigail. Note the Navi's description. First, note that the Navi describes him by his wealth even before it relates his name. But he's called Naval, she's Avigail. V'yisho tovas sechel v'yifas toar. His wife was very wise, intelligent, and beautiful. V'yish kosheh. He was difficult. Vira ma'alolim, and he had a very rough disposition. Vahu cholibi, and he was a cholibi. Now, the word naval itself is not necessarily praise. Some of the mafarshim understand this as a nickname, but that's what his neighbors called him, although not to his face. Naval means a lowlife, a rogue. Amar Naval Bilibo Ein Elohim. The Naval says in his heart there's no God. So Naval is a lowlife. Here, it's interesting, the Malbim explains that he's Koshev Rama Alolim. That the two types of ethical personalities. One is a person who's just naturally drawn to do good. Doesn't really learn anything, he's just inclined to it. The second is a person who's not inclined to it, but he learns. He learns what morality is, what ethics are. So he's able to adjust his behavior. Koshev Yoram Ma'alolim means that he was not predisposed to moral behavior, nor did he learn any. So he's a complete lowlife. Now it's not unprecedented that a pious woman would have a husband who is a bum. Which happens very often. A rich bum, right. Right. There is another case, weren't wives, but there's a famous case of another dishonorable person. My wife says she knows such a woman. There was such a man who himself was a Rasha, and he lived with two righteous women also. Anybody know? We just read it in the Torah, week before last. Lavan. Lavan had two righteous daughters, Rachel and Leah. Chazal, what's that? Well, they raised in his home. I didn't say they were married. They were raised in his home. If you're of this bent, the Ramami Fano, who's a Kabbalist, writes in the Sefer HaGilgulim that this novel was an incarnation of Lavan. In fact, the letters of the name are the same. Lavan, Novel. It's backwards and forwards. Because you see, both of them had the same personality. Materialistic, greedy, selfish, but somehow the women in their proximity were very righteous, very honorable. Be that as it may, what kind of bum was he? Well, Chazal say in the Yalkut Shimoni, in Kuf Lamed Daled, number 4, Vayoma Shmuel v'somechle, right after the Navi relates Shmuel's death, it says about this man in Ma'on, Maaseh v'Karmel, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Hakol tzovchin v'tovchin el misoso shel tzadik. Everybody is crying over the death of Shmuel HaNavi. And this Rosh is making a party, celebrating the shearing season. Teaching us that a person who denies loving kindness, it's as if he denies God's existence as well. You can't have a Jew who's not a Gomel Chesed, who's a pious Jew, who is even mindful, conscious of the existence of God. The two go hand in hand. A person who's a Gomel Chesed, so that's a person who's aware of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if not, not. Now, Naval, unfortunately, was not. If you look at 3, the Radak says, quoting his father, that Navol ze lo hayashmo shekor lavosov. It wasn't a name. He wasn't given the name Navol. Nobody names a child bum. Ela merov reus ayukar nosar b'nei adam Navol. Because of his lowliness, his inferiority, people called him that. So that's who we're talking about. So what happens? Let's continue. Vayishma David b'midbar ki gozeis Navol son. Now David hears that Navol is shearing his sheep. So he sends messengers, 10 lads, and David says to them, Alu charmelo uvasem el Navol, ushaltem lo b'shmi l'shalom. Very deferential, very polite. Ask after his welfare. Vamartem ko lechoi, and you'll say to him, ko lechoi, such should be for life. Now we'll see in a moment, this was Erev Rosh Hashanah, and they were looking for provisions for the Chag. Kol Achoy was an expression that they had. It's a beautiful one, actually. And we say Lashana Tova Tikosevu V'Sechaseimu. Rashi says Kol Achoy Ko Yeh Lashana Haba'ah Gozeis. You should be shearing again a year from now. All right, meaning that you wish someone at the start of the year exactly what you have now. Lachoy should be for life in the next year as well. You have a similar phrase, you know, Tivalev Etit Chadesh. That someone buys a new garment, you tell them, for some reason, people have shortened it, and they just say titchadesh. But that's not what you're supposed to say. You say tivaleh v'titchadesh. You should wear out this garment, and then replace it with a new one. Meaning get many years of use out of it. That's the bracha we say. So ko lechay is similar. Ko lechay should be for life. V'atoshalom uveischoshalom. All right, you can't have David sounding more pleasant, more eager to please. And now I've heard that you're shearing the sheep, and you should know, your shepherds were with us. We gave them protection in the desert. We didn't shame them. They didn't lack anything when they were with us. You'll ask your lads and they'll tell you exactly how we treated your shepherds. We've come now for the Yom Tov. So Rashi says in 7, we've come because you've made this great celebration. Festivities for your harvest, or Davar Acher, Erev Rosh Hashanah Haya, Tzrichanu L'Sudas Yom Tov. We need food for Yantav, round chalas, etc. We need something. We have nothing. Tano no Eis Asher Timso Yodcho L'Avodechu L'Vincho L'David. So now, please, give whatever you can to your servants. U'Levincho, your son, David. Ad Kedei Kach, David expressed his respect for Navol. So they come. The narrate David, they say exactly what David said to them. Vayanuchu, they don't rest until they give the message. Then they rest afterwards. Vayan Navol es avdei David vayomer. Navol answers the servants of David, saying, "Mi David, umi venishoy. Who does he think he is? He's asking me. I should support him. Who is David? Who is Ben Yishai? Hayom." Rabu avodim amisportzim ish mipnei Adonav. Today, the many rebellious servants, each of them rising against his master. Vilokachti es lachmi ves meimai ves tivchasi. So come, should I take my bread and my water and my meat? Vinasati lanashim. You have the pasuk. Vinasati lanashim asher lo yadad. I should give it to strangers. I should give away my bounty to strangers. Where does that come from? The Narim return to David, and David says in Pasuk Yud Gimel, this you have, Vayomer David l'anashov, Chigru ish escharbo, he said to this man, gird your swords. And each of them did. Vayachgor gam David escharbo, David himself girded his own sword, and he started going with 400 men, and 200 stayed back. So he had now an army of 600 we discussed, 400 went with him in order to kill Navol. V'avigail Eishes Novol Pasuk Yudalid Higid Narachem Anarim Limor. So Avigail, Novol's wife, was told what had happened, that David sent these messengers and they asked for provisions, and David had been good to Novol and his shepherds, and nonetheless he was turned down flatly. And you should know, now be aware, decide what to do, because the evil decree has come upon our master's house. He's too evil a person even to speak to. Do you know that? Some are just beyond hope. You can't reason with Nabal. So says one of the lads to Nabal's wife. She takes 200 loaves of bread and 2 containers of wine and 5 sheep and parched ears of corn and raisins and figs, and she places them on the donkeys and she heads out herself. But Tamil and Arel Ivrulifanay and Hiniach Rechem Bamsa, she sends ahead. So David keeps seeing, much like Yaakov sent to Esau in last week's Sedra by Yishlach, he sent a burden-laden animals one after the other. So what? Not all the same time. They just kept coming and coming. So she wanted David to see this procession of gifts before she herself came. Uli shach Novo lo higido. She didn't tell Novo what she was doing. Wiser. V'hoyahi rocheves al achamor. She was riding on her donkey. V'yaredes b'seser hahor. She was going down the covert of the mountain. Vine David Vanashov Yardim Likrasa. David and his men are coming the other mountains. You have 2 mountains, and they're each coming down towards each other. But Tifgoshosom, and that's where they meet, and that's where we stop. So, what happened here? Why, in fact, was Nabal so abrupt, so inconsiderate to David? Well, if you look at the Malbim in number 2, it's right on top in the middle. The Malbim says that this, the pasuk, which related to us the death of Shmuel Anavi, is put there for a reason. Kol yemei chayei Shmuel lo nigla davar sheshmuel mashachis David. Whenever, as long as Shmuel was alive, he did not publicize that he had anointed David. Ki yarei milagalos, he was afraid to reveal it. Remember, Shmuel, in fact, had complained to God. If Shaul found out that I anointed David, he'll kill me. Uvimosh Shmuel niskala davar. When Shmuel died, so either on his deathbed he revealed it through by himself, or Talmidav Achrechain, or his disciples revealed it. So now the word is out. It's as if at Shmuel's funeral, it was publicized that David was the king. David was was anointed by Shmuel to be the next king. That's why David had to flee. Because now that it's public knowledge, he was afraid that Shaul would be enraged again. Clearly, Nabal refuses to accept David as the Melech. Refused to accept Shmuel's decision. Nabal is arrogant. Nabal feels he's more qualified. And he has better yichus as well. Look at Rashi number 8 on Pasuk Yud. Mi David, mel chashuv, shetein lo esheli. Why? Who made him so important that I should give him some of my own wealth? Halo merus hamoaviyaba. David is the descendant of Rus. The first time this accusation is raised against him. Not the last, but the first time. That he's unfit to be the king because he's not even from fully Jewish stock. What's that? Doeg had said the same thing, right? But openly, really. So people knew this. They planted the seed. Even more than that, it says in the second pasuk, "V'hu chalibi." So chalibi is an equivocal term. Nabal was from Sheba Yehuda. Nabal was a descendant of Kalev. Chalibi. Others say Kalev means he was a dog, but that's a separate point. But Chalibi is a descendant of Kalev, the most distinguished, illustrious lineage in the house of Yehuda, which was the royal house. So clearly Nabal felt, if Shmuel is going to anoint a Ben Yehuda as the putative king, it should be him, Nabal, and not David. And Nabal was, so Nabal rebuffed David, even though he owed David. More than that, Nabal, we see, is an extremely greedy, self-centered individual. And he never saw beyond his own Dalet Amos. What we have here, essentially, is the first threat to David's Melucha, a lay threat. A Melech has to be accepted. When he's accepted, he has to be feared, dreaded. Som tasim alecha melech, shetehei maso alecha. You have to fear the king, there's a certain awe. So Nabal raises a few arguments against David. First, he's from Rus, and Nabal is from Kalev. Nabal is wealthy. Nabal is powerful. Nabal really can attract many followers himself. David recognizes that. The Yalkut Shimoni says that Nabal, in this attack, is attacking David, attacking Shmuel too. Klum hu batuach el ashtei tipin shemeshachos Shmuel. What is David relying on? The two drops of oil that Shmuel poured on his head? Echan hu Shmuel vechan hu tipav. So where's Shmuel now? Where are those drops? So rejecting, essentially, God's choice. But in fact, Nabal was not worthy to be the king. How do we know that? One who thinks he should be the king is really not worthy to be the king. But first, he wasn't chosen. That's the obvious point. So you see, Nabal is not such a pious person to begin with, aside from his other problems, because he's rejecting the Hashgachas Hashem, is rejecting the word of the Nevi'im. Even more than that, the Mefarshim point out that a melech cannot be a kamtzan. A melech can't be miserly. He can't be cheap. The whole purpose of a melech is to be able to provide a bounty, to care for the people's needs. Nabal was the exact opposite. That's why others say he's holy bee, he's like a kelev. What's a dog? A dog only takes for himself. And he always takes from others. And he doesn't give. So a dog, I have no dog owners here, a dog is always held to be a very jealous and resentful creature. So therefore, Uchali B, he was exactly the opposite of what a melech should be. But, as even the Na'orim pointed out, you couldn't tell him. He's the type of individual that Ben Bliel Midaberi love. You can't talk to him, like George Steinbrenner. So what does David do? So he decides to terminate Nabal. And as Skippy said before, Vayomer David Lanashov, what is he doing essentially? He's decreeing that Nabal is a Morid B'malchus and therefore subject to summary execution. Since he's been anointed the king, even though he's not serving, and Nabal protesting and disrespecting the king, so therefore he needs to be knocked off swiftly, both for his own sake, Nabal, because he's a Morid B'Malchus, and as a deterrent, that there should be Amos Malchus, because if you don't do that, then these types of rebellions just grow. Yes?
So if that's true, then even when Abigail gave him the present, he still should have killed Nabal.
Technically, you're correct. So let's see what the Navi says. Abigail is then told of the danger. She runs to meet David with all these gifts without telling her husband, wants to placate David, and she wants to save her no good husband. Where do they meet? They meet at the mountain. And that's where we left off, Batif Gosho son. Now, the Navi continues, it's in number 9. Before they meet, V'David Omar, it's Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Achla Sheker Shamarti Eskol Asher Lo Zeba Midbar. Was it for nothing that I guarded all this person's possessions in the wilderness? V'lo Nifkad Mikol Asher Lo Me'uma, nothing was lost at all? V'yoshav Li Rotachas Tova, this is how he repays me with evil in place of good? This is what God should do to David's enemies. And even more, Imashir mikol asher lo araboker mashtin bekir. If I leave even one thing that belongs to him alive to the morning, somat mashtin bekir, which is a dog. It's a euphemism for a dog. Again, cholibi. Mashtin bekir, because dogs urinate against the wall. So I won't even leave so much as a dog alive. Very interesting. Why is the Navi telling us what David was... He didn't say this to anyone. He thought this. Why is the Navi mentioning this? If you turn the page for a second and look at 21b, which is right in the middle, the Mishpatzel Zahav quotes a very interesting letter from Rav Yitzhak Huttner, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. And he says as follows, that why we told David's thoughts here... He says, second line, Roh chola hi etzleinu. I bet it's a very important general point. It's a bit of a digression, but it's very important for us to recognize. He says that there's a sickly evil in our midst, our Huttner writes. Shekasher misaskim anu v'tzdodei shleimu shel gedoleinu. Whenever we're involved in the various aspects of the perfection of our great ones, we just jump to the bottom line and say, this guy was a tzaddik, this guy was a genius, a Talmud Chacham. We just speak about how they attain this perfection, this greatness, and skip over the inner struggle that they might have had in order to attain that. Haroshem shosichaseinu al hagadol miskabel kilu yatsu mitachas yad hayotzer b'kom asamu v'tzivyanom. We make it seem, when we talk about the gadolim, as if they arose from the womb, already perfected, righteous people in every aspect of their lives. Hakol misochachim mispalim u'malim al gam al neis. Everybody talks about and is astonished at the purity of speech of the Chafetz Chaim. That's all we know. He didn't speak Lashon Hara. Didn't even listen to Lashon Hara. Who knows of the wars, the struggles, the stumbling, the ups and downs that the Chafetz Chaim had until he reached that level? We speak about the Chafetz Chaim as if, well, from the moment he was born, he never spoke Lashon Hara. So that can't be. That can't be. Mashal Echad Mini Elef Lo Yadu. He said this is one of 1,000 examples you can give. It's a very powerful statement, because we often have an unrealistic view of the Gedolim, which is fostered, fomented by the biographies, which are not always accurate. They write about the Chafetz Chaim that he went 20 years without hearing Lashon Hara and 40 years without speaking Lashon Hara. So the question we should ask is, well, what did he finally say after the 40 years? And of course, who's so brazen as to go tell the Chafetz Chaim some Lashon Hara? But nevertheless, you take that, it's astounding to us, because we can't go a day without it, it seems. But the Chafetz Chaim was not born like that. The Chafetz Chaim had to undergo tremendous internal struggle to reach that level. So too David HaMelech. David here was inclined immediately, almost impetuously, impulsively, to kill Nabal. So the Navi relates to us his thoughts. How does he feel? Vengeful. Wrong. So he has a hook on which he can hang his desire to kill Nabal. But it's not that Nabal's a Morib Malchus, essentially, that's motivating David HaMelech. It's a personal slight. That's what he's doing. That's what the Navi's telling us. So Rav Huttner is saying that's exactly why the Navi mentions this point about David HaMelech. So we should see his inner struggle, which shouldn't be dismissed or trivialized, because he wasn't born a tzaddik. What's that? But there's a difference. Let's see. What does Avigail say? Let's look at number... before we go to her arguments... Let's look at number 15. It's on the other side. It's the Gemara Megillah Daf Yudalad Amud Aleph at the bottom of the Daf, and then Amud Beis on top. Avigal was a Neviyah. Tichsiv v'hoyo hiro cheves al hachamor v'yoredes b'seiser hahor. She's riding her donkey and she descends in the covert of the mountain. What does it mean, b'seiser hahor? The Gemara asks. Minahar mebayalei. Should say, he's come from a mountain. From the hidden aspect of the mountain. What is she, in a cave? Amar Rabba bar Shmuel al iske dam haba min astorim. She's coming with a shaila about Nida, literally with a mara to show David HaMelech. Not la dam beherasolo. So she took this mara with dam and asked David, "Is this dam make me a tamei or my tahora?" Amar lo. So David said to her, "Vichi." Remember, David's a great Talmud Chacham too. In fact, the Gemara says in Brachos that he says, "Yodai melucha chos badam." That his hands are filled with blood from permitting women to return to their husbands, paskening shilas in that area. So he said to Vichy Marin Dumbalaila, do we look at Maris at night? Amralo, she said to him, Vichy Dun and Dinin Afashas Balaila, do we judge capital cases at night? About Naval. Amralo, he said to her, Mori Bamalchusu, Vlod Sarach Lemedaine, he's a Mori Bamalchus, he's rebellious. So it's really an extrajudicial process. You don't have to follow normal procedures. Omer lo, she said to him, Don lekaf schus, adayin shol kayom, shol's still alive. V'lo yatzot tivacho ba'olam. Your reputation, your eminence is not known in the world, that you're the king. There really is a king. So how can you paskin at the expense of his life that he's a Mori Bamalchus when in fact it's not assumed by everyone in the kingdom that you are a melech. Now, that was her introduction, as the Gemara understands it, to arguments. If you turn back to number 9, we'll see exactly what she now says. Beginning in Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Vatera Avigail es David Vatamaher Vatered Melech Hamor Vatipol HaPei David Alponev Vatishtachu Oretz. She descended from her camel, bowed down before him, fell on her feet and said, Bi Ani Adoni Ha'avon, please, with me, my master, lies the sin. I'm the guilty one, so please listen to your maidservant. Al No Yosim Adoni Aslibo Alish HaBliyal Hazeh. Don't pay any attention to this evil person. It's her husband she's speaking about, by the way. So it happens. Al Naval, about Naval. Ki Chishmo Kainhu. It's a very common expression in Hebrew. Kishmo Kainhu. A person's name. That's who he is. He is as his name. Naval Shmo Unavala Imo. His name is Naval, and he is a Navela. He's a repulsive person. I didn't see your servants, your lads, when they came. I would have given the provisions. So she says, and now, my Lord, as Hashem lives and you live, Hashem has prevented you from bloodshed, coming to bloodshed. And from your own hand avenging you. May all your enemies be like Naval, and all those who seek to do any harm to you. And this is the bracha that I bring you, and I give your Naarim as well. She begs again, forgive the iniquity of your maidservant. That God should make for my master an enduring house. It's also the source of our phrase. People marry Bayis Neman B'Yisrael. My master fights God's battles. And no evil has found you at all in all your days. Now, what is she arguing? Look at number 13 in the mouth, bottom left. But Malbim says there are three different arguments she raised to David. First, if David is going to be vengeful, only three reasons why he would kill Nabal. One, because Nabal's a Mori B'Malchus. Two, because he wants to use Nabal as an example to others. He shouldn't become emboldened with this type of rebellion. Three, he'd be entitled to kill Nabal to take the property because he feels owed. This way, Nabal had deprived David of a return of favor. So he'd be allowed to take what's Magiala for helping Nabal. So she says, all those things are unworthy of you as the king. They're all unworthy. You shouldn't take his life. You shouldn't hold him up as an example. You shouldn't take his property either. All these things will in fact tarnish your malchus. Why is that? So she makes a very powerful point. Turn to number 14 on the back page, upper right, again in the Mishpat Sosahov. The Matsudas David says, all the Hashem, all your wars are God's wars. Lasos nekom bote kachov, to wreak vengeance against the idolaters. But lotim sa b'chol rom miyamechal ucham v'larog anashim Yisrael kasher asa shol. But you've never killed a Jew like Shol has done. So now the Mishpat Zov explains the Bala Metsudos that she said to him, this is not vengeance, because what makes you unique is that the Kvod Hashem always takes precedence for you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu yasadino v'lo hu ba'atzmo. God fights your battles. God exacts justice on your behalf. V'amarot she'ish b'zeh chisaron v'zilzul b'malchuso. Here would be a deficiency in your kingdom if you killed. K'malchus sholo miyuchedes l'nyan zeh shel asiyaz dinu nekomo v'over aveiro v'sonei Hashem. The uniqueness of your sovereignty is that you'll exact vengeance against the enemies of God, not simply people who oppose you politically. As David himself says in Tehillim, Halom misanecha Hashem esno, uviskamecha skotot. It's those who hate God that I hate. Meaning David fights the milchamos Hashem. The kino that David has for his enemies is because it's kinas Hashem. Not some personal bias or vendetta that he's conducting. Avigal reminds him, and really this is the parak in which David, in a sense, is outed as Melech Yisrael. So Avigal is the one to tell David the parameters of Malchus. So far the only model of a king that the Jewish people have had since they entered Eretz Yisrael is Shaul. And Shaul lost it. He became vindictive. He struck out against Jews. It was a reign of terror. So Avigal tells him that a king is very powerful, but a king is not an Eved Hashem and doesn't put service of God paramount. A king who cannot restrain himself from acting on aggressive impulses becomes corrupt. And she said, your malchus depends on your ability to distinguish properly between the milchamos Hashem, which you'll fight, and private vendettas, which are beneath you. And if you don't do that, she said, in a very nice way, she said, then your kingship is really no different than any of the Akum, any of the idolaters. David was about to act impulsively. So what he did was justified, and what he would have done was mutter, is permitted. But in fact, it will be counter to his interests. Yes?
In reality, all of David's career,
right,
this was not the way they lived as a king. His last tzavah was to show anybody who crossed his path, Shlomo.
You mean to Shlomo?
I mean, he said to his son, Shlomo, he was
born. Right.
See, there was a redada that the kings had against their enemies, they executed.
Well, it depends. You see, for example, that Shimi ben Gera, he let live. The difference is, and this is the point that she's making, there is a time you have to kill your enemies also. Obviously. Every rabbi knows that. There's a time also where you have to restrain yourself. What's the key principle to follow? Chochma. It has to be done with wisdom. If people know now that David is anointed the king, and they read 2 days later in the newspaper that as his first act of business he killed the wealthy Noval HaKarmeli, who's well known in Israel, is a very wealthy person. His first person, first act as king, as putative king, that he killed someone. So that already shames David. David in his life, in fact, that's what he told Shlomo after Vayechi, you have to be guided by your chachma. You'll know. What does he say? Vasi, very good. Bar Mitzvah Parsha. Just a genius. Vasisa kechachma secha. You have to follow your chachma. That's what she's telling him here. To kill Noval, who is he? Kishmo Kenu, there's no chachma in that. And that itself would depreciate and undermine your whole monarchy. What's Avigail here represent? She's really the good wife. Not just that she's saving Noval, but in fact, the good wife generally is the one who's able to restrain her husband by making it seem that the restraint is in his self-interest. Not do it for me, but do it for you. It's better for you not to do it. So she talks him out of misbehavior. That's exactly what was happening. And David here learned a very valuable lesson. A lesson which really bodes well for his monarchy. Look at 23, it's Rav Avinir writes in Tal Hermon, the bottom left. Avigail ma'amida David al avdel gadol ben shvichut damim shelo boivei Hashem, shemilchamot Hashem. Avigail here introduces the difference between killing the enemies of God as part of fighting the wars of God, as opposed to the shedding of blood that he was about to do with Naval. It's for naught. It's unnecessary. Don't stain your conscience with his blood. Let God deal with him. As in fact happens. And David responds, you look at the next paragraph, Hagura Anafshit Hamusarit Azova Kishon Lasot Masim Shal Alimut Kishahe Mechrechayim Beliliot Alim Uvlilihita Maybe Bchina Nafshit. This greatness of spirit, this moral spirit, this talent to perpetrate violent acts which are violent but necessary, without becoming corrupted by it, so that you just become a violent, bloodthirsty person. That was David's special talent. That in fact, he was a warrior, and a warrior kills. But to for a warrior not to kill, to say, now I shall not, I'll hold my sword. So that's a greatness of spirit. Zeu gam amavdil. And other kings, even righteous kings, he mentions Asi, Shafat, Chizkiah, etc. That was the uniqueness of David HaMelech. In fact, that's what Chazal say, an issue will take up later this year, why David didn't build the Beis HaMikdash. So God says that all the blood that you shed, it's all kikarbanos lefanai. It's like karbanos. Because every act of killing that he did was justified by Sanhedrin and by the needs of the moment. That's he did according to his chachma. That was what Avigail taught him. It's an invaluable lesson for Malchus, and that's why the story is here where it is. That's what she says. She said something else also. Another, give me one more point. Vayakom Adam Lirdavcha, back in number 9. A man has risen up to pursue you, Levakeshus Nafshecha, seek your life. May the soul of my master be bound up in the bond of life. With God, Beis Nefesh Oivecha Yikal Enno B'soch Kafakola, and God should throw away the soul of your enemies as a person shoots a sling from a slingshot. That's what God should do to your enemies. This phrase, of course, Avigail, is very quotable. Teinish Moser Tzubat Zorachayim Tinat Spaz, the most common inscription on a grave in Eretz Yisrael, not to mention here. What is she saying, in fact? She's saying that it's not just that you're David, we have great expectations for you. It's not just that you're an Olam Hazeh phenomenon, but Haysa Nefesh Adonit Tzurobet Zorachayim Eis Hashem Elokecha. What you do has an effect in the next world too. It's not just about winning this battle or defeating this enemy. It's about moral perfection. It's about being a role model for Dorei Doros. The Tzor HaChayim, the bond of life, Chazal say, is a euphemism for Olam Haba, for the world to come. So she said to David, you can't look at it as just killing this one person. But what you do affects you and others and Klal Yisrael l'dorei doros, l'netzach. Because what David will do and what Malchus Beis David will ordain, it's going to affect the Jewish people forever. That's a very powerful statement. Now the question is, how was she able to convince David of this? Right? Yes?
When I asked the question, if you were to defend the criminal,
right,
go to the king and say, this guy's a good bomb, he's a low life, worth not. I mean, where is the defense of the person in question?
None.
She's
not defended. That's correct.
I mean, can't you find anything for your
husband? And her husband. Apparently she lived with him. She knew better.
Even though he's bad, she's controlling your info.
There's no defense, because what Naval did is indefensible. What did he do? He's a bomb. He's a lowlife. He's an ingrate. What can you say? You can't say anything. As a Morib Malchus, so that's the question. Was he or wasn't he? So David asked his men, Chazal learned from here that in a capital case, Maschilim min Atzad, you ask the youngest of the judges to speak first. It's derived from this parasha here. Because David first said to the Nahorim, what should we do? And they girded their swords. Only then did he gird his sword as a ratification of what they did. So in fact, since he was the Melech, he was anointed the Melech, even though Avigai was pointing out, yes, you may be correct, but it's not smart. It's counterproductive to what you want to accomplish as Melech, that people should perceive you as that. Yes?
I remember learning here that Saul was taken to task when he was first king, and he didn't take revenge when he was maybe a little long, right when he first became king. And they disrespected him, and he didn't do anything. And they're saying, you know...
Yes. Hey, you learned that here.
Yeah, I mean, step up.
Boy, I didn't know everybody was listening. Yeah, it's a good point. The difference is that Shaul was anointed as the king and everybody knew about it. And he was a reluctant king. So at that time, Chochmah demanded not necessarily to kill them, although it's possible, but that he should rebuke them. He should assert himself as the Melech. That's what those times demanded. Here, it's an equivocal stage. There's an interregnum between Shaul and David. You know, Ein Shnei Melachim Mishtamshim B'Keser Echad. Two kings can't share one crown. So they're both kings, really. Yet, and Nabal was disrespecting him because he was a king. So he really was Marib Malchus. Yet she makes an argument that this is not the battle that you want to win. It's the wrong person, it's the wrong time, and sends the wrong message to the people. Now the question is, Dov is also Chacham. So what attracted him to her? So now we go back to the Gemara and look at Avigail's methods. So number 15, we continue. So David, we'll actually go back to the Navi for a second. David says, responds to her, Vayomer David Avigail, Pasuk Lamed Bez, Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael Asher Shlochei Chayom Azel Lekrasi. Blessed is the God, is Hashem, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to me. Uvaruch Tameich Uvrucha At. Blessed is your advice, blessed are you. Asher Klisini Ayom Azem Ibo Vidamim Hoshe Yadili, that you have restrained me from coming to bloodshed. No, damim is plural. Hoshe Yadili, and you prevented me from avenging myself at your hand. And he says, by God, if you hadn't prevented me, if you hadn't hastened to see me, there'd be nothing left to Novel, not even a dog. So the Gemara says, it's right in the middle of 15. Again in Megillah Yudal Mebez, Amar Lo, Uvaruch Tamech Uvruchat Eis Asher Klisina Yom Hazem Ibo B'damim. What's Damim? Damim Tarte Mashma. Damim implies two. Ela Melameh Shegilsa Shoko V'halach La'orah Shlosh Parsos. She was coming down the mountain, and there's a song by that name. And as she was coming down the mountain, somehow she lifted up her skirt, revealed her thigh, and David was smitten. In the language of the Medrash, she asked her right then to live with him. And that's when she showed him the dam, that she's an Ido, and then she said she's an Ashes Ish, to boot. So the Ashes Ish problem could have been resolved with one blow of the sword, but not the Nida problem. What's that? Could have waited. Okay. Omar Lo, he said to her, Hashmili, which is the invitation to live with him. Omar Lo, Lo Tiazos Lecholafuko. This should not be a stumbling block for you. Zos, this should not be a stumbling block. Michlal Deika Achriti. There'll be another stumbling block in the realm of Arroyos. Umaynihu, what is that? Maisei de Basheva, Umaskona Hochi Havoi. She saw in David this weakness. Now, in fact, Tosfos asked a very good question, number 17. Kosha. Hey, Chosa Tzadek is Gilsash Shokol of Ne David. How is it possible this righteous woman, whose virtues were extolling, would show her thigh? Like Monica before David. Vaod kasha de mechazi keguzma lomar sheholach laor shoko gimel parsos. And it seems like an exaggeration. Three parsos is almost a mile. That the light of her thigh shone for miles, so David ran to her. V'yishlomar tosu says shenimtzo b'svar meduyakim shenakud behem le'ora. The Nekudos on Or is Le'ora, meaning David's Or. Klomar, Le'or Shelo Perish, Nis'avi Le'David V'hoch Bar Chamimo Shlosh Parsos. It's not that her thigh shone, it's that when David saw a woman coming to him, so he became very excited. And he ran to her, and he was overtaken by her. Now, according to Tosfos, then, the aura is not coming from her thigh, but the aura, the light, really the heat, is coming from David, who was now passionate for Avigail. What Avigail does here, then, Lo Tiazos L'Cholafuka, is reveal to David another potential danger for David as king, and that is overreaching in the sexual realm, which of course is a big problem, as we know, ad hayom. David, like most warriors, if not all warriors, had prodigious desires. Kol agadol mechavero, yitzro gadol hemenu. A person who's greatest is a bigger yetzer hara too, and therefore he's subject both to the attainment of great virtues and falling to great sins. So that, in fact, is what happened here. That David was ready to succumb with her right now. And again she held him back and said, now is not the time. Look at number 21. The Mishpat Zov quotes the Ben Yehoyada. Shelo hoya ze'or tivi. It wasn't natural light. Alright? Shebeder hateva miyofi odam einot ze'or. We may say someone is radiant, but it's a euphemism. It's an expression. No person really emits light. So what's the light? V'orshin iskalim yishoko ya'orsha satan heir yishoko. It's the satan who shone a light on her. So David should be drawn k'dei lahavioli michshol sh'adarab aydei sh'yisav elo shalok k'din yavol largas novo k'dei sh'yuchal l'zakos lo. The satan was encouraging David, so now it would give him another motivation to kill Naval. He's a bum, he's a married b'malchus, and I could have his wife too. So it's sweet poetic justice. So that is again what Avigail stops. Avigail holds David back and says, that's not what Malchus Yisrael is. That's, you know, Saddam Hussein. That's not the Melech Yisrael. Yes?
The way he puts David in the worst life relationship to Bathsheba, because there was a person who was loyal to him.
Right.
Sacrifice
life. Bathsheba.
Right, Bathsheba. There he didn't hesitate.
But 1 second. So you continue on in 21. V'dima zos, this comparable l'masha sota nidme letzipor v'osa neked b'mchitza shebo ha'iso Bathsheba rochetza. So we'll get back to the story, but the Medrash says that Satan came as a bird and pecked away a little hole in the curtain behind which Bathsheba was bathing, so David should be able to peer. Now what that means, we'll get back to when we take up that story. But you see, in fact, David, like anybody, had a Yetzirah, and he had a very large Yetzirah, being a great person. But Avigal recognized here and said to him, in fact, she predicted that this would be a stumbling block. La'avdil, it was David's Achilles heel. And in fact, he did stumble with Bathsheba as she predicted. So she made two predictions here, which really qualifies her for Nevuah. Actually, three, because she said she'd become his wife in the future, and she said that he's going to be the king and fight God's battles, etc. And she said as well, this is going to be an area in which he has weaknesses, that he should be careful. Now, the Gemara continues. Interesting ending. What's that? 15, yeah. When God does good for you, David, so you should remember me. Amr of Nachman, Hainu da Amre Injit, people say, Itzo bahade shuto pilcho. When a woman is talking, she can also spin, meaning weave. That is to say, she can do two things at once. She could be talking and also planning the future. And in a more graphic sense, Ikad Amri, other said this, Shvil v'ozul bar avza ve'enohe mitayfe, that the goose can walk with its head down and yet its eyes appearing about, looking ahead, knowing where to go. So Avigail was planting a seed in David's mind. Now the question is, was she right to do that? If you turn back the page in Pasuk Lamed Beis, she said this, that when God does good for you, v'zochartos amosecha. And then it says, Vayomer David la'avigail, but Avigail is spelled as if it says Avigal. So the Radak says, Ksiv, in number 12, Kemo la'avigail, Avigal Ksiv, Kemo la'avigail, Kikarofu, V'yesh Bodrash, Kiksha'omer v'zochartos amosecha, when she said to him, you should remember your maidservant, meaning keep me in the back of your mind. Pokratzma lo. She made herself available to him. In the future, v'kevan shepokratzma lo, pigoma hakosuv bikriya. Since she made herself available improperly, being a married woman, so therefore the Navi takes away one letter of her name to say that what she did was not exactly kosher. Even though, in fact, that is what happened. What's David's response? David says that in number 20, David agrees. That's the Malbim. So Malbim says that he recognized there was truth in what she said. God had sent her. David recognized right away she's a tool of Ashgacha. All right. Uvaruch Tamech, Shechutz mizeh gam tanoseh nechochas v'amitios. Not only are you a tool of Ashgacha, but the arguments that you gave are sound arguments. Uvrucha at. Shegam es mitzad atzmech kvar yisruyo lozeh balach rivis beischa. Even without anything, you're worthy to be saved from the house of that individual. So David accepted, and more, he was gratified that she came on the scene in order to save him from this moral disgrace. Now, what's the aftermath? So turn, please. Actually, go to Rashi in 10 for a moment. She said that all your enemies, David, should be like Navoloi Vech, like David, your enemy. So Rashi says, Nisnabes Baruch HaKodesh, Shlo Yaruch Yomim. She prophesied that her husband would not survive, wasn't long for this world. Ki Aso Yasa Hashem Adonai Bais Neman, Lios Melech HaYisrael. He said she'd be a successful king. Lefichoch, V'ra Lo Simso Becha. No evil should befall you. You shouldn't disgrace your kingship so soon by doing something which would be unjust. Okay, what happens in the end? So let's turn to number 18, Pasuk Lamed Vav. David accepts the gifts that Abigail brought, tells her to go home, but Tova Abigail El Naval. She comes back to the house again. He's celebrating the shearing in a big party. V'hine lo mishte v'vesok mishte melech v'lev tov v'lev navol tov alov. Navol's heart is very full, very good. V'shikar ad ma'od. He's very drunk too. V'lo higido lo davar katon v'gadot or aboker. Until the, she didn't tell him a thing what had happened until the morning. V'hiv aboker b'tzeis hayayin minavol. Morning comes and the wine starts to dissipate, comes a little sober, a little more sober. Vataged lo ishto es advar ma'ela. Abigail tells her husband what happened. What does she tell him? She went to Midavid, she gave him all these gifts. Vayomas libo bekirbo, he had a heart attack. Behua yola evan, a heart attack, a stroke. He became paralyzed like a stone. Rashi says in 19, the top left, Ayomas libo, shenitztaer ala mincha shuves l'David. Sick, sick. He was so aggrieved that she gave away some of his property, literally had a heart attack on the spot, because now he was bereft of this wealth. He lingers for a time. He lingers. Lingers for 10 days and then he dies. So Rashi says 22, it's the bottom of the page. Yeah, this 10 days to finish out the 7 days of mourning for Shmuel, which did not interest Navol to begin with. So God let him hang around for that amount of time. So they shouldn't commingle mourning for this Rasha Navol with the mourning for Shmuel. Another 3 days and he died. Rabbeinu Amru, a different set of 10 days. God gave him 10 days. When did this happen? Erev Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, 10 days, Tzivid repent. He couldn't get over the loss of a paltry amount of his wealth, and he died. The Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal, in one of his essays, which is in Ala Tshuva, mentions this case. It's a beautiful depiction of Navol HaKarmeli, Vayihiv HaBoker B'tzeis HaYayin MiNavol, that a person who sins, who's committed to sin, and he's living a life of frivolity, of licentiousness, there comes a time when morning comes. That's the night. The night is party time. But then Vaihiva Boker, the harsh light of reality, shines on that person. B'tzeis hayayin minavol, and the wine starts to peter out. That means the fantasy world, the illusory world disappears. And then a person is confronted with how he's corrupted himself. which is the plight of every sinner, the morning after. The Christians call it the Saturday night sinner and the Sunday morning churchgoer. That's the dynamic. A person lives it up Saturday night, but come Sunday morning, vahiva poker, they wind up in church again. So lahavdil, that's really the process of tshuva that exists for every chote. Every person who's overcome by his passions and then sins, and when it's finished, the wine is gone. And he realizes again the nature of his sin. He dies. Vayishma David, and Vayigof Hashem es Naval, so God punished him. Vayishma David ki meis Naval, David hears that Naval dies. Vayomer, he says, Baruch Hashem. I guess sometimes it's sad when somebody dies. Baruch Hashem asher rovis rivcher pasi. Blessed is God. God took up the cause of my disgrace, miad Naval. V'yesavdo chasach meira, and he thwarted me from this evil. I didn't have to do anything. Zocho, malachtucha nasis adecheir, you're worthy, someone else does it for you. V'yisras Naval, eishiv Hashem b'rosho, and his evil, God repaid on his head. V'yishlach David, v'yidaber b'Avigail, David sent messengers, spoke about Avigail, lekachto lo leisho, to take her as a wife. I guess she wasn't the grieving widow. Vayavav, they David Avigail, Carmela, they come to Carmel, they say to her, David's message, she says, deferential as always, v'atokom v'teshtach v'apayim archi, v'azdem v'tomer, hinei ammascho l'shivcho l'rchotz raglei avdei adoni. What do you want from me? She said, behold, I'll be a handmaid to wash the feet of the servants of David HaMelech, that she's not worthy to be his wife. All right, those attitudes, I think, died out at the time of Tanakh, unfortunately. But that was her approach, that she's not worthy even to be a maidservant to David's servants, much less a wife to David. As it is, she accepts. After the Shas Havchana, 3 months later, David marries her. V'tamaher v'tokom Avigail v'tirkav al hachamor v'chamesh na'arasar al hachos l'raglo v'atelech acharei malachi David v'atilo l'isho. She does marry him. Now, she marries him as a very faithful wife. In fact, in a sense, I mean, this is part of her greatness. Avigail is the ideal wife, the ideal queen. Because it's hard to talk to the Melech. He's the Melech after all. And yet she had a way where she was able to keep him on the derech, to rebuke him, to chide him, but in a very gentle and loving manner. She was a person of natural goodness whose personality really balanced out that of David. A Melech, a general, has to have a little toughness. He has to be rough around the edges. She in fact, was an Ezer Kenegdo. The exact opposite of him. And the two of them produced a wonderful child. I mentioned the Gemara last week, and we'll see it now in print, number 24 on the left side. The Gemara in Shabbos Daf Nunhei Amud Beis. Arba Mesu Bet Yoshon Nachash. Four people died because of the counsel of the Nachash HaKadmoni, the primeval servant, meaning they died without sin. Four people. Eluhain, Binyamin Ben Yaakov, Amram Avi Moshe, so Yaakov's youngest son, Moshe's father, Yishai, David's father, the Kilov ben David. Kilov was David's son with Avigail. The two of them raised a son without sin. You can't say that about many people. Yishai, you can't say about David HaMelech, for that matter, because he's not in the list. He'd sin too. Yishai didn't, and Kilov didn't. So when you have that perfect harmony of husband and wife, not the same, they're really opposites. Ezer Kenegdo, but both focused on one goal. That's how a child like Kilov can be born, who only dies because that's the fate of all human beings, that we have to die. What else happens here? The next pasuk, I didn't record for you. V'es Achinom lokach David miYisrael v'atiena gam shtehen lo l'nashim. He takes another wife too. Achinom of Yisrael. He takes his wife al shtehen. In addition to the two wives he already had. Who are the two wives? Avigail and Michal Bashol, who was the wife that was given to him by Shol as a present. Remember, the first daughter refused, and then Avigail did. The very first act of David HaMelech after Shmuel's death, really we see from the Navi how Avigail safeguarded David's moral standing through the natural checks and balances, which are the part of any marriage. It's so interesting. I happened to check before I came in. Whenever Avigail is referred to in Shmuel Beis, David's wife Avigail, Eshes Navala Carmeli, referred to as David's wife, the wife of Naval, as if that's how she was known, as if not so much we're trying to link her to that no goodnik, but what we're trying to say is Avigail's greatness was that she was Naval's wife, and in that position was able to guide David properly as Melech Yisrael. The Melech Yisrael is all powerful, so there has to be some internal restraint. That internal restraint, ideally, is going to be his wife, the Malka. David takes another wife here, and you see already that Abigail, in her prophecy, was correct, that Michal de'ika achriti, David had desires when it came to women. Eventually, he'll marry 18 wives, in addition to others that he had as well. Shlomo will continue and really augment the numbers in a much larger number than David had. But, of course, we understand that all these relationships do nothing more than cause problems. And first, we'll discuss next time, the threesome of David and Michal and Palti ben Laish. When Shaul HaMelech hears that David has taken first one wife and then a second wife, in addition to his daughter, he takes back Michal as David's wife and gives her as a wife to Palti ben Laish. Without a get, he just annuls the marriage and says, now you're married to Palti. That relationship is a very interesting one. Palti being one of the really righteous people. Well, you have to come back next time to see whether he could or couldn't and how that relationship resolved itself as well. So all these things only point to Abigail really focused in on David's strengths and David's weaknesses, and she really smoothed the way for him to become the great David Melech Yisrael, Chai V'Kaya. Okay. Next week there's no shir, celebrating Hanukkah. So we'll rejoin ourselves, meet again in 2 weeks, discussing Michal, David, and Palti ben Laish. So have a happy Hanukkah.